gosh.
Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, gentlemen.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
That never gets old. Never.
Nah, bro. I kind of did it with that intro. I'm out to.
America. Welcome officially to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Today is Wednesday, December the 28th. We are flying again to the month of December. You are officially Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am joined by my two fellow co-hosts, who I'll say, we are finally, you know, we're not like the Cleveland Browns, not going down in history for the wrong reasons, but for good things. So let's check in. I just literally had to, like, clear my throat. But once again, let's reach out to my man, JQ. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
You know what? I'm doing good, man. But, you know, the anxiety is starting to set in a little bit here with New Year's Eve approaching. So, you know, I had a lot of time to be cool and not worry about it. But now we're getting close to game time. We're getting a little, you know, jitters and anxiety. It's a big game on Saturday.
It'll be good, bro. We'll make it work, bro. We'll make it work, man. So, no worries. We'll talk about that a little later on, too. I got a question for you and for my Ohio State fans as well. Last but not least, I'll check in with my other co-host. It's all good, I promise. It'll be good. Other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, doing great. Back in NOLA, you know I had to have some oyster patties today, so we good.
Wow, some oyster patties.
I don't even know what an oyster patty is, bro. That's a whole other conversation.
I got to introduce y'all to some cuisine, man.
Oyster patty.
Yeah, he's next level.
Oh, what'd
you say?
All right, guys. And Rob's special, too, so we'll keep this moving here. But without further ado, let's give you some details about how to reach out to your boys, the show. Colin is always the number to call into the show. It's always 424-243-9519. We are on Twitter. Our handle is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Last but not least, if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us on that arena as well. Gentlemen, let's get this party started. Let's kind of kick off the first topic. And this is a pretty interesting topic. I didn't even realize this. Reggie Bush needs 3 hours on Sunday to avoid what embarrassing record, Rob? What are you talking about, bro?
You guys know that. In NFL history, there's never been a running back that had 10 or more carries in a season and actually have negative yards rushing. And at the moment, Reggie Bush has negative two or negative three yards rushing for the season and with over 10 carries. So he doesn't get at least 3 yards rushing. And the crazy thing is he scored a touchdown this season, but he still has negative yards rushing this season.
That's crazy.
Obviously, he's going backwards a lot more than he's going forward this season. And I think his career is probably about done after this season. So, but, yeah, he needs at least 3 yards to not set that NFL record.
What's wrong with your boy?
Yeah, dog. Hey, listen, that ain't me. That's USC. You know, that's not my boy. But that's awful, man. I mean, and I think last week they said he had, like, -8 yards. Like, he's just – you talk about falling off a cliff, yeah, and there's no doubt the safest bet in Vegas is the fact that Reggie Bush's career is over. And who's going to talk about you this year? Like, they're going to have to purposefully kick him in, put him in, you get one good carry, and then put him on the bench so he don't go negative again. Like, that's where they are. We're trying to keep him from this record if they decide to do it. That is bad. There's no other word for it, but, yeah, he's unemployed. Him and Ray Rice will be together collecting checks because they ain't getting no jobs. It's over.
Ooh.
Sorry, it is.
Ooh, at least he's not getting picked up and cut like some folks. Pick him up, release him, you know. But yeah, like you said, yeah. Thank you, safe to say, Reggie, bro, I think that's a kind of an interesting stat. So, yeah, Reggie, we hope that you're not in history for that. That's kind of crazy.
Well, he got above the coach, so the brother might try to help him out. He got above the coach.
Yeah, I think they're going to keep him on the football, and once he gets 3 yards, they're going to take him out of the game.
Right.
That's going to be crazy.
Exactly.
Because he could easily go backwards again.
Exactly.
Oh, I got no words for that. Oh, man. We're talking about crazy stuff, and this could be crazy depending on your perspective, but yeah. So word on the street is that JQ Dez Bryant is trying to attend the Cowboys QB meetings because he wants more passing plays. Is this more of a distraction? What the French toast? Are you letting the wide receiver in meetings? I mean, what's going on this side of the field, man?
You know what? He just is hyped up out there. You know Dez is emotional. He's crazy. I think he's just having fun with it. And they just, you know, it helps keep it loose. As long as he don't go, throwing a tantrum because he didn't get a chance to throw another touchdown pass, I don't think he's going to really have a problem with him. I think this is just Dez, lightening up the mood. But I tell you what, if I was Dallas, I would try to use it to my advantage because we've heard stories about Dez not always being committed and being late to a lot of meetings. The more meetings he wants to come to make the offense better, I'm going to let him go. Maybe he goes to the meeting and he sees some things and talks to them and gets a different understanding. They run better routes and they have a better connection. Let Dez in the meetings. I mean, so they have to let him throw the ball. But if he's in the meetings and he's absorbing all that information, listening to the quarterback's talk, could not make him a better wide receiver? Just saying.
Hey, I was going to say, Rob, do you think this is a distraction, man? Is this a good thing? Or is this like, dude, man, I hope it's kind of lighthearted, but we don't really know. But what's your thoughts about this, sir?
I think it's just him having fun, kind of similar to what JQ said. I think,
Okay.
Just joking around, playing around, having fun, getting all excited after this one touchdown pass. Feel like he can go and
right.
I think it's more lighthearted, getting the teammates loose and things of that nature, and having a little fun with it. But I don't think it's cause for concern for the Cowgirls.
Nice
but
little party shot.
Don't you think? And you being a stat person, Rob, that having him in a room listening to the quarterbacks and what they see from their angle, don't you think that would make him a better wide receiver? I would think I would almost want my star wide receiver to sit in on some of my QB meetings and talk to my starter as they talk about the game plan and what he sees when he throws it. How does that not make the connection better? So it's lighthearted.
Yeah.
I agree he's just messing around. But I would think that still would be beneficial. I would want my number one and my quarterback to watch film together and see the same thing on Sunday.
And then, I think there's still some more growth left between he and Dak Prescott, too.
Yeah.
And, I'm not going to say he's been there's a lot more room for improvement in that combination, that throwing combination of Dak Prescott. And that may be the one area where he may miss Tony Romo, but I think overall there's still some room for growth between Dak and Dez Bryant.
Yeah, good call, man. I really do hope that, like you said, that guys, that it is kind of lighthearted because the first time I saw that, the first thought that came to my mind was, he's, more controversy from the Cowboys. And not, like, bad, but, just something else to kind of be a distraction because you know how Jerry Jones likes to talk about Romo and Dak, and now we're going to bring Dez into the thing, too. It's just, a whole other thing, too. But, I'll see. It's all good. If it's lighthearted, no worries. All right. This is an interesting category. The five worst picks of the 2016 NFL draft. Now, I'm sure we may have some similar characters and some draft picks here, but Rod, kind of kick it off, and I'm kind of curious to hear what you'd like to start off with this particular topic, sir.
Well, I think for me, I'm going to start with Laquon Treadwell. I mean, he's a guy who was a straight-out stud at Ole Miss. And obviously, when he started getting to the combines and the workouts, there were some worries about his top-end speed. And you've kind of seen that in the NFL right now, where he's just having trouble getting past these professional DBs. He's only played in 79 snaps this season. And that's, it was definitely very, very much unexpected. So definitely the concerns about his top-end speed have definitely come into fruition. In the NFL, so that's definitely a cause for concern for the Vikings. Number two, Joshua Garnett, offensive guard for the 49ers, late first round pick. Took him over five games to crack the starting lineup, but once he did, he's been straight up atrocious. He's getting beat at the line of scrimmage. It seems like regardless of who he's going against, and you know, in his case, then if that keeps going, the NFL will stand for not for long. And so, yeah, he's been for a first-round offensive guard. When you draft an offensive guard in the first round, it's typically not a position you take in the first round. But when you draft a guard in the first round, you expect him to come in and be a stud and start right away. They're not getting that kind of production out of him. Robin Ninkimdichie, late first-round pick, Arizona. Here's another guy. I mean, I remember this kid coming out of high school, five-star recruit, number one recruit in America. Obviously, he ran into a few issues in college. He took plays off. He had some off-the-field concerns. And a lot of that is still showing up in on the field in the NFL. Very little production this season for him as well. Number four, the kicker from Tampa Bay, Roberto Ogoyo. Second-round pick, big-time reach for Tampa Bay. And obviously, he hasn't lived up to that billing either. And last but not least, Christian Hackenberg, second-round pick for the Jets. This was another big reach by the Jets. Yeah. Obviously, if you draft a quarterback in the second round, may not expect him to start right away, but you expect him to be a starter down the line. This was a big reach. I don't see any starting quarterback capabilities out of Christian Hackenberg. So that would be my last big wasted draft picks, top five wasted draft picks.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I got a lot of those same ones, and I agree with that. And I'm going to have to put Aguayo first. I mean, if somebody moves up to get you as a kicker in the second round, and you was the all-time, I think the most accurate kicker in college history, and you come in and you do that, yeah, that's number one with a bullet. It has got to be the kicker.
With a bullet.
And I say, woo, man, listen, I was in the Treadwell camp of wanting the Bengals to draft him, and they didn't get him because Minnesota stashed him. And I remember I was not pleased. So I guess I should not be a scout. And the thing about Treadwell is not only – yeah, exactly. Yeah. The thing about Treadwell is not always the speed is and being a bigger receiver. It's that he just doesn't need the separation in terms of also route running. You cannot have to both the best top-end speed to still be a good wide receiver. But he's not getting, you know, good routes. He's not, you know, be able to get that subtle push-off and move up, you know, and sell one route and go into another without changing his footwork. Like, that's not working for him. And I think until he gets better route running, he won't see it. Kandice, but, I mean, again, we had concerns about him. And, you know, the talent got him into the late first round. But, you know, those concerns come up to fruition. And he, you know, like Denny Green said, he is who we thought he was. You know, crown him. You know, that's who he is. And my other one was Jermaine Ifedi.
You
want to
crown him? Crown his ass.
Right. Seattle, you know, cutting costs and not spending a lot of money on offensive linemen. They have to nail the draft picks, and they draft him in the first round. And I see the offensive line is awful. You often see Russell Wilson improvising and running around making plays. It's not a whole lot of crisp, you know, running up the gut, running around in, you know, sitting back in the pocket, throwing it. It's all playground because the offensive line is terrible. And they got to be held to the fire. We give Seattle a lot of love for all the things they do right. That is a waste of pick. And trading Unger to New Orleans for Jimmy Graham still is, I think, caused that ripple effect to happen for Seattle and offensive line.
Rob, what do you think about that? Rob, is that a good call on JQ's part or what? What do you think about that?
What, a Max Unger situation?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, Seattle's, I think that's one of probably the biggest weakness right now when you look at their football team is their offensive line. I mean, I still think overall defensively they're pretty solid. I mean, obviously, you're missing Earl Thomas big time right now on the defense. But overall, you look at their one biggest area on their football team is their offensive line and, of course, their ability to run the football. And the offensive line has a lot to do with that as well. So that's definitely, you know, a huge part. And Max Unger, I can tell you that Drew Brees has been a very strong advocate for him going to the Pro Bowl. So, I mean, I know he's a big fan of him.
Yeah, good calls, man. I mean, it's interesting. Who was the guard that you said, Rob, again? I think I missed the name of the guard that you were talking about. That was the
Joshua Garnett. Garrett, I'm sorry.
Garnett,
I'm sorry.
Because you're fine. There's a couple that we talked about. I think Agoye is number one, easily. Hackenberg, I'm with you on that. I was looking at the list. I don't know if you're looking at the Pro Football one. They had Willie Beavers from Minnesota as one that was a pretty high up there too, which I thought was pretty interesting. But like I said, some of these guys, they may not get developed just yet, so you're worried about that. Darren Lee was also up there for the Jets because he had seen any time on the field too. But it's just interesting to see, you know, we definitely know that the draft is not an exact science right about now. And you know, if that's the case, I'm sure Cleveland would never trade it out. They would have probably taken Carson Wentz, but we'll keep beating that dead horse whenever. But good calls, and I'm sure as it goes along, we'll see which guys are bust. There's always surprise positions and whatnot as well. All right, gentlemen, we are moving right along the path here, and let's talk about another topic on the other end of the spectrum, the top five NFL rookies this season. And JQ, you want to start this one off, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. You know where I'm going first. I mean, you know I'm going to. I got to do it.
What?
Zeke, he's got great offense. Yeah, listen. He's got great offense, but you know I'm going to ride with Zeke. There's no question. And him and Prescott, really, you got to talk about them together in tandem, what they're doing. I mean, they're good. There's no doubt they have a great offensive line. They've got good receivers. They got a future Hall of Fame tight end. They walked into a good situation, don't get me wrong. But they also didn't mess it up, and they excelled in those roles. And you got Dallas now that nobody saw coming, having the first round by the NFC. So you got to give them a lot of love. I'm going to go to Conklin in Tennessee. And Tennessee, part of the reason why Mariota was able to have that year and that ground and pound game with DeMarco and with DeMarco Murray and the rookie from Alabama is because Conklin was
Derrick
Henry. Derrick Henry. Just lost it. So you got to give him a lot of love for that run game. Him and Lawai have done a really good job, but Conklin coming in as a rookie, Michigan State stepping up pretty good. Bolster, real quiet like, has had a good year, too, and you got to give him some love. He's got a lot of sacks and a lot of pressures, considering he hasn't played the first four games. So he's had a pretty good year. And then I'm going to go 5 and 6 because I like both of those dudes. You know, a lot of Buckeyes got drafted. A lot of Buckeyes are having big years. Go down the Vols way to New Orleans, Michael Thomas having a fantastic year for the Saints as well. He just, you know, was supposed to be in that third kind of role, and he's really just taken over. He's really the one now, I think, for New Orleans. I mean, I know they got Brandon, but I think Brandon Cooks is a two, and they use him like that, and he's getting pissed off. But, you know, I know that Rob knows about that. And Tyreek Hill, I know he got a lot of controversy, you know, and rightfully so, you know, punched his girlfriend. But this dude has been lighting it up for Kansas City this year, and I'd be remiss if I didn't give him some love in these top five. Those six really, to me, stand out.
Sound like Rob Ford, man, talking about LSU, man, giving all your Buckeyes a lot of love, bro. What's up with that?
Hey, they all deserve it.
He's right, a homer, right. America.
I'm surprised Joey Bosa went on that list, but we'll keep moving here. But
I said Bosa.
Conversation.
He said Bosa.
Did he?
I said
Bosa. I missed it. Oh, I was looking at something. I'm sorry.
Hey, man, you're just telling on yourself. You're not even paying attention to the show, man.
No.
What you doing, man? You flipping through some magazines or something, man?
I'm not flipping through. I was actually looking at my list here, and I was jotting some quick notes, and I got distracted. That was me. All right, so what's your five? Go ahead, Rob. Come on, man.
All right. Well, I got to start off with Zeke Elliott, too, man. 1,631 yards rushing, 15 touchdowns, unbelievable, leading a 13-2 team. And just like JQ said, you got to put he and Dak Prescott 1 and 2. Prescott over 3,600 yards passing, 23 TDs, has only thrown 4 INTs, two rookies leading a 13-2 team. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen that before. In NFL history at two of your most important offensive positions. Jordan Howard, I have him at the number three position. He's knocking on 1,200 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns, running back for the Chicago Bears. Have him at the number three position. And the hated Dirty Birds, got to go with Keanu Neal at number four. He's got 101 tackles on the season. I know he had an ankle injury, I believe, in the second quarter this past week against Carolina. Had 3 tackles in that game before the injury.
Yeah.
But 101 tackles, having a really good season as a rookie. And last but not least, Michael Thomas, as JQ mentioned as well, wide receiver for the Saints, 82 catches, knocking on 1,000-yard season and 8 touchdowns as well as a rookie for the Saints.
Man, I got that Falcon jersey coming your way, too. Yeah, I got your Falcon jersey coming down, too. I know, yeah. I was giving it a hard time. What do you guys think about Sterling Shepard, the wide receiver for the Giants? What do you think about his production, guys? He's been doing this thing, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had another, you know, you put him in an honorable mention category. You can put Carson Wentz.
Okay.
And then you can, as JQ mentioned, you can put Bosa.
Yeah, Stuart Cravens. Yeah. Yeah, man, it's one of those situations, too. I mean, there's a lot of promise. There's a lot of good young players in the league. You know, Jalen Ramsey, a couple of guys that you know want to mention, too. But, yeah, good calls on that. I agree with you guys, definitely. Zeke and
Prescott are definitely off the beaten path to try to – I think you'd be looking off the beaten path, Andre, to find different just players just to throw out there at us that you know me and Rob ain't going to say. I mean, you got good players, don't get me wrong. But you do a good job. You find a way to get three people in there that we don't mention. I like it.
I mean, you know, I try to, like, you know, I don't want to be exactly like you guys. I try to, like, add a little something to that. So that's what I was, you know, I did. I apologize because I was thinking in my head. There's some other guys I was thinking about.
That's
what I try to bring, you know. So it's just me just trying to, like, add a little extra to the show. But, you know,
That is me appreciating you adding an extra to the show.
Okay, good deal. Thank you so much, sir. At least somebody cares. All right, gentlemen. Thank you, JQ. A lot of love, bro. So we got about 23 minutes here. We've been going for a minute here. Let's talk about the playoffs that are right around the corner for the NFL. And I can't wait to talk about some fantasy shout-outs, man. I'm so excited to hear about this. But let's talk about some playoff predictions, guys, and kind of where we stand, because unfortunately a couple teams have been eliminated. And we're right on the cusp, too, as far as some seedings here. I know we've got the division leaders already set, and there's a couple wild card games that are going to be established over the next couple of this following coming week. So, Rob, kind of set the playoff predictions, and we'll keep this going, sir.
All right, I'm going to go how I think the seeding is going to wind up here for the playoffs. In the NFC, obviously the Cowboys have the number one seed locked up. I think the Falcons, unfortunately, will get the number two seed. And the Seattle Sea Chickens will get the number three seed. And Green Bay, I think they go on the road. I know we haven't got to our predictions, but I think they go on the road and beat Detroit. I'm sorry. So I think Green Bay will have the number four seed. The Giants have the number five seed locked up. So they'll be a number five. And I think the Redskins win, they're in. Regardless of what anybody else does, even though they're number seven right now, they win, they're in. I think they will get that number 6 seed, which will get them three teams from the NFC East. The way I kind of see the playoffs
that, huh?
Breaking.
Sorry.
Say what?
What you know about that, bro? Little
cousins.
Go ahead, bro. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the way I kind of see the NFC shaping up, I think Green Bay comes out of here and make it to the Super Bowl. I think they're just hot right now. I think Aaron Rodgers has got it going, even though they, you know, don't have a bye. I think they come out of this NFC. I think they knock off the Cowboys in Dallas in the second round. And I can see them easily going on the road and beat Atlanta in the NFC Championship game. So I have Green Bay coming out of the NFC going to the Super Bowl. And look at the AFC. I have New England at the number one seed, Oakland number two, Pittsburgh three, Houston four, Kansas City Chiefs five, Miami the number six position. I think New England beats Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game. Pittsburgh will beat Oakland, of course, with the backup quarterback on the road. I think New England comes out. I think we're looking at a New England Green Bay Super Bowl in Houston. Good football game with New England winning it.
You know, hold that thought, JQ. I'm gonna let you do your thing. I'm gonna let you get your time, bro. You know, I gotta say this, man. I'm waiting for it. If that happens, I'm waiting for Green Bay. I got something special for Green Bay. You bring it on. You bring it to me. You know what I'm saying? Green Bay. I'm just saying, bro. You know, but that's one of the conversation here and now, man. But you know, I ain't scared, bro. You gotta beat everybody somewhere somehow. Anyway, that's what Rob wants. But go ahead, JQ, your call, bro. I'll let you have your little 5 cents.
Hey, you sound like Ben Stiller, man, with that little comment. One on Meet the Parents.
That's okay.
I agree with Rob. I agree with Rob with his NFC picks. I agree. I was going to pick Green Bay. The AFC, I differ in the seeding. I think with Oakland losing their car, I think they fall out of that two spot. I think Kansas City can still catch them, right? If Kansas City wins,
they can.
Oakland loses.
Yep. Sure can.
I think Kansas City flies to the two, and I think Oakland flies to the five. I agree with that piece of the season. I think, and I hate to say it, and I almost burns my tongue to even say it out my mouth, but I think Pittsburgh beats New England, and we got a Green Bay-Pittsburgh Super Bowl.
Wow. Well, I did pick Pittsburgh in the preseason, but I don't know. Should be interesting.
That's just me.
So this is going to be a fantastic season, man, to see the Falcons go to the Super Bowl, man. I'm so excited, man, getting my tickets, man, here Super Bowl.
Oh, gosh.
Falcons, Falcons and Patriots, bro. You know what I'm saying? We're going to bring it back,
make
man.
Sure make sure you know it's a fun
man. I just want you to mean, you know. Don't cry when you wake up after that happens.
Oh, man. So you heard it, America. You heard it. For that offense is a tough offense, man. I am scared defensively. I'm not gonna lie, man. We got to, you know, there's a good article about our
defense.
They're
not the Falcons.
Defense, but,
they're the failed camps.
You know what? I got something for you, Rob. Falcons rise up, man. I'll see you Sunday, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's all that matters, man.
Y'all
even
beat
if,
the Saints Sunday. I give y'all that one.
That's all that matters, bro. That's, you know, I'm gonna see Falcons rise up all day, bro. I'll be calling you.
Oh,
calling
man.
You.
Don't do that, y'all. You know, so. Don't do that, y'all. Listen to this next week, man. They don't want to hear that.
You know, all that junk you were talking, bro, you know what's about to happen.
Hey, I just
know.
Said y'all going to win.
But okay, I'm just saying.
I just say you're not going to win
the
playoffs.
I got you
going
yeah,
to the NFC
good,
Championship
man.
Game, but you lose to Green Bay.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, it's you know, that's a scary game, but you know, I'm like, hey, you know, it doesn't matter, man. What you got to take on, you got to take on, man. No use running and hiding at this juncture. So you know, you got to be the best. You got to, you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best. That's all I got to say, and that's the words of your boy Ric Flair. All right, let's continue on here.
Be the man. You got to beat the man. Hey, man, listen.
That's it, man. Yep. You knew where I was going with that too. All right, let's keep this going here. Talk about Robert's favorite, his homeboy, Doug Martin, getting suspended four games for violating the drug policy. What's up with your boy, Rob?
Well, I thought that was strange this past weekend, you know, Tampa Bay in the middle of a playoff run, and he's a healthy scratch. They had him on an inactive list. And, I mean, obviously this past offseason, he got a big, huge contract. It's got to be a big disappointment for the Tampa Bay Bucks with the season that he's had and now with just four-game suspension. I mean, that's a huge disappointment for Tampa Bay. So I'll be curious to see what happens with him this offseason. I mean, I don't know if they'll cut him right away after signing him with their big deal, but this is a big disappointment for Tampa Bay. It could have been the missing piece for them, you know, contending even a little bit further this season.
Yeah, Tampa Bay's kind of imploding. What's your thoughts about this, JQ?
Well, the thing about it is, and you know, I was on that Tampa Bay train. I was off by a year. I had him last year. But I thought they had all the pieces. And, you know, I don't know if he's hanging out with Future. I throw that Adderall. But, you know, you got to that's a tough blow for that Tampa Bay team. They were playing well, but I'm not really surprised at them falling off some. I think they were – on schedule to be competitive and get to an 8-8, maybe a 9-7 kind of year, and then say, okay, we've got the seeds planted, you know, let's take the next step with it. You know, sometimes it's just a progression. You don't always jump from, you know, last to first. Sometimes you progress your way up and develop as a young team, and I still think they're doing that. But, you know, they definitely need Doug Martin. I mean, I think Quiz has been good in the fill-in role, but I think it's shown that you can't have him do that for 15 games. He won't hold up. So they need him to get it together. And, you know, I think Jaquiz, you know, the start next year can hold in there for the first couple of games that he's, you know, the suspicion carries over into next year. But I don't know if they give up on him quite yet. I think if he gets his life together, they're going to give him another shot because they did invest that kind of money in him. And I didn't look at what the cap hit is if they cut in this offseason.
It's a good call. Yeah, man. It's like we talk about, you know, it's been one of those seasons for the Bucks, man. They have, like I said, imploding is kind of the word I'm looking for because, you know, they had that great start and then they kind of just you know, you thought they were kind of doing some things, and then Doug Martin, and, you know, like I said, so I'm not crying, obviously, but this is a huge blow. And I agree with you, Rob, and that, you know, Quiz, he's not built to, you know, sustain that. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, if something does happen, you know, we'll see if he has a shot to stay in the league. I mean, I don't think he's as bad as, you know, your boy Reggie Bush and or Ray Rice. But, yeah, anyway, very interesting. All right, gentlemen, 14 minutes. And surprisingly, this is a very interesting topic. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they're interviewing Tom Coughlin for the head coaching vacancy. Rob, JQ, trying to bring back a little old school magic to the fray here. And I'll start with you, JQ. Is this a good move? What do you think about this from your perspective?
You know what? They've been talking about this for a while. And real quiet-like, I think this is a good move for them. I think they need somebody like him with all those young guys on the team. And they're going to buck. And maybe they don't buck as much this time around because it's well stated about what he's expecting. But I think for that young team to hold people accountable and find out some of those young guys who really is good and is going to be able to help them take the next step and who's not, who they need to get rid of, I think having Tom Coughlin as the coach will expose that. You're not going to play if you're not going to practice and you're not going to show up to the meetings and do what you're supposed to do. And it's not going to be a favoritism thing. It's going to be the dudes that produce and the follow the rules get to play, and I'm going to stick with them until they show me that they can't play and that I may have to make, you know, a secondary move. I think for Jacksonville, it's a good move given the current state of their franchise and them needing some direction and some discipline for that young team.
Yeah, Rob, I'll get your thoughts too. Can you wonder if, like, he left the Giants kind of on when he was ready? Because I think the word on the street is that he really wasn't kind of ready to make that move. But what are your thoughts about this, Rob?
Well, I think when you look at the Jacksonville roster, they're still overall a pretty young football team. And to bring in a guy like Coughlin who can bring some discipline to that football team, obviously, yeah. I think he would need – when you look at Blake Bortles and their wide receiver talent that they had, they took a step back this season. If you go back to last season, they were one of the hottest offensive teams in the National Football League, and they took a step back. So I think from a discipline standpoint, he would be great, but I think he has to bring in the innovative offensive coordinator to help him as well to get that offensive team back up to where it looked like where it was heading last season. You got T.J. Yeldon, the guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. So they have some pieces where they can do some things offensively, and they have some pieces defensively if they're healthy as well. And obviously they're going to be picking high again in a draft. So with another good, really good draft choice or overall draft, I still would think with the right coaching staff, this team could be in contention here in the next year or two.
You know what? I'm going to throw something controversial at you. I think if they took your boy, I'm not sold on Yeldon. He can't stay healthy, and Chris Ivory is on the wrong side of the 30 at this point. I'm not wondering if, and I also would think that Julius Thomas has also been somebody that's flaked out that was supposed to be a good young tight end who can't stay on the field. If Fournette is there for them, I don't know if Jacksonville doesn't take Fournette. And you put him with those two wide receivers and, like you said, a good offensive coordinator that can reach Bortles and maybe bring him back to 2015 numbers with a Fournette back there. I just don't think they have that running back yet either. I don't think it's Yeldon. And Ivory is not the long-term solution. I think he's there.
Yeah.
That makes them much more scary. Me personally.
Yeah. Well, I hope we go to Jacksonville because I know Carolina Panthers are pretty high on Fournette too. So let them go to Jacksonville. I don't want them in the division.
Right.
That's crazy. I'm with you, boss, man. I mean, that's a great pick. I mean, there's a couple of backs that and we talk about going that high because that running back position has been devalued the past couple of years. I know if you're Seattle, so you're probably keeping an eye on that situation as well. Like, man, you know, we need a running back in the worst way. So, but good call on that.
You're going to see too high. You're going to see Fournette and Dalvin Cook probably go in the first 10 picks of this draft.
Easily.
And you're
going to
see
change.
McCaffrey go somewhere in the late first round. As well, as of now. So you could very easily have three running backs going the first round of this year's draft. I don't know when the last time we saw that.
Yeah,
I agree.
And a season that Zeke Elliott is having this year can only help them.
Yep.
He's the reason why you're going to get three. And I know you're going to call me a homer, but he is. If he had a failed and flamed out and not done this, you don't see three happen. Even with their talent, they said everybody's going to do the same thing, somebody's going to fall. We can get lucky again at the top of the second round. But the year that he's having, he's proven that if you have that guy that you feel like is that guy, he can make that difference if you get in the right situation. So I agree. I think he is the reason. I think I'm going to give him more credit than that. I think that situation that happened in Dallas is the reason that it opened up eyes again that, hey, you can still get a running back high if he's special and make a move and doesn't always have to be a quarterback or a wide receiver.
Word on the street is that the Packers are high on Christian McCaffrey. They think he's like Travis Jervey or something like that, 2,300 or something crazy. They have a very high ceiling on him too, man. So
Travis Jervey.
Keep an eye on it. Travis Jervey or something.
Yeah,
you know him back in the day? Yeah. I'm saying they just – I don't know. That's what they were talking about too. But
I think he's a better Danny Woodhead.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I think he is.
Yeah.
I think he's a better Danny Woodhead. He's faster, but he has the same skill set, but he's faster and more shifty.
Yeah,
there's a lot of – who knows? I mean, like I said.
He can help you in the return game, the passing game. Uh-huh. Yeah, but we'll see what kind of run overall running back he'll be.
Yeah. A lot of shout-out, too. You know, we were talking about some – you know, I know it's rookies, but, you know, and I just think about, you know, yards. And David Johnson is doing some crazy stuff, too, man. So that's another guy I just – you know. Coming out, man, that just underrated guy, man. I don't know why I thought about him, but I was just thinking about
the
back doing some things too. Yeah, man, it's just I was like amazed at that too. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to go left. Let's talk about this. We got about 9 minutes here, guys. I want to talk about the preseason, and then I want to get the fantasy shout outs, and we'll talk about some predictions going into the weekend here. So, what's this, Rob, about the preseason starting early in 2017, sir?
Well, it looks like the NFL next season, obviously we all know that the Hall of Fame game was canceled this past preseason, and it usually kicks off on a Sunday night. Looks like the NFL is going to move that game to a Thursday night this upcoming preseason here in 2017. So instead of the season kicking off on a Sunday, it's now going to be kicking off on a Thursday night. So you'll be getting your first preseason taste of football about 3 nights earlier.
That's funny. You know why, right?
Blame Canton. Is that what you said, JQ?
It is. They blew it. You got one freaking job. You got one game a year. You cannot have it get canceled because you put the wrong paint on the field. That's just ignorant. But the reason why they did that, and I'm pretty sure
it's Ohio for you.
They did it on the Hey, man, listen, I know. This is why they're doing it on Thursday. They're doing it before the high school game that's going to practice and have the you know, early season games in early August. They're doing that before the high school game, so they won't mess the game up for the pros on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the reason why they're doing it. They're going to be the first game in the weekend on that field as opposed to being the last game.
That's crazy.
You got me?
Good call.
Yeah, that's crazy. craziness. All right, good call from that. Rob, go ahead and talk about the fantasy shout-outs here before we get to our NFL predictions here, sir.
Yes, let's talk about that.
I know both of you guys want to get to this, right? All right, league number one, co-host Andre, straight cash homie, league champion, 141.86 over Purple and Gold Patrol, 98.18. League number two, Matthew from Indianapolis, Fleur de Lis over Kid Kev, 123.08. to 111.66. Mother co-host wins league number three, Ohio Players, with a demonstrative victory, 168.96 to the Kings team, 133.46. Congratulations to all of you all on winning league championships. And fantasy basketball, the biggest wins of the week. Ohio Players again beat yours truly 5-2. And also, I'm so heartened, 5-2 over the champions here. My team's still in first place in fantasy basketball with a record of 52-19-1, and off to a good start this week as well. Orleans Buck Jumpers. Those are your fantasy shout outs for the week.
You gonna do it, Andre? I mean,
go ahead, JK.
No, you do it. Go for it.
What am I doing?
You know what you gotta be doing. So we got three leagues, right? And Andre won one league, and JQ won one league, but somebody else did not win a league. That was
hey, I got still got the fantasy basketball on the win. They got Joe.
Man.
Hey, at least I was last year. None of y'all even made it to the championship, and I was in two of them. So.
Oh, you still didn't win, though, bro.
Y'all was bringing up old stuff.
That's what you got to do, right? When you look bad, you got to bring up old stuff.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry.
No, it was good.
Somebody had to do it.
Straight Cash. I got to tell you something really quickly. I just want to say about Straight Cash Homie, because whenever I was recapping, I was looking over my draft report card. I got like a C on my draft report card. And they gave me – this is straight from Yahoo. They said – they talked about my draft position because I drafted eighth. This is what they said. Well, a bad draft position led to an even worse draft. Picking eighth, you know, Straight Cash Homie is projected to land 11th place in the 12th man sports league with a record of 2-11. This is what they projected. They talked about me selecting Russell Wilson. They might pick a different guy. Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, Brandon Cooks, and Randall Cobb. They have a bottom group of wide receivers. They also have Cooks, DeSean Jackson, Cobb, whatever. We're not mad. We're just disappointed. This is what they said in the draft thing. So, basically, they did not like any of my draft picks. They said if I had a nickel for every time Ezekiel Elliott is projected to touch the ball, they'd have 293 nickels. That's what they said.
Wow.
They said that they grabbed Melvin Gordon.
He might be number one fantasy pick next season.
Yeah.
Him and Le'Veon Bell.
They said Milk was also a bad choice, and so was drafting Tom Brady, the weakest value of the round. That's what they said. Let's see. Was DeSean Jackson worth the pick? He's predicted to put up 171 points, only netting 105 last year. They didn't like that pick. And then last but not least, they really hated my Matt Ryan pick, which is funny because they said that he had the lowest ADR of the quarterbacks. But that was just interesting that, you know, it just shows you that they were a little off of that too, man. So I just thought that was interesting to compare the draft because I was picking number eighth. And I was able to pull that out, man. So, yeah, you can suck at Yahoo for that. So anyway, that's my little, two cents on that.
I'm just happy you finally won a league, bro. We've been competing in fantasy sports for over 10 years, and you finally won a league.
Not 10 years. No.
Line is quicker. I don't have the whole draft report in front of me.
Actually, it's been over 10 years, right? We've been competing in fantasy sports since like 02, 03.
I've been second. I admit there's been a couple times that I've been like second every now and then, and that's the circumstances. But the dynasty starts right now.
I lost one game.
Yep.
I lost one game to Rob by 5 points. I was 5 points away from perfection. How about that season?
There you go. And you were what? Yeah. Is that where you're back picking ninth?
I have your number in fantasy football.
I pick first.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you got whose number?
Yeah.
Whose number you got? Whose number you got? Fantasy football, Rob.
Yeah, I have
his
number.
You got
fantasy football. JQ.
He's talking.
Yeah, he's the only one that beat me. I lost one game all year, and he beat me by 5 points. I said, look at this.
Mm-hmm. And even in other leagues, in League One, I swept him.
It don't matter. I'm still getting my ring.
It doesn't count. It doesn't count. It's a championship. You're right. He's right though. It doesn't
I'm
matter. Championships count, bro. Championship. What? Show me the ship. Show me the ship. That's what they say.
Uh-huh.
We got a minute 44, Rob. Go ahead and wrap this up. I'll let you wrap it up, man.
Wrap it up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on the air on next week live, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central. Stay tuned. We'll let you know if it's going to be Tuesday or Wednesday night of next week. Obviously, we're going to get you set for the NFL playoffs, recap the college football playoff, and get you ready for the championship game on the following Monday night. So you don't want to miss next week's show. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. We can't give you this show, that portion of the show live, but we still got some great NFL predictions. We got some NBA, and then we got a slew of bowls we may get to here in the OT portion. So stay tuned. Good night, people.
Oh. You just made my blood pressure go up like 5 points when you just mentioned that. This is going to be a rough weekend. Thank you, good people. That's the day. That's a tough New Year's Eve for you, boy, because, you know, I'm all in on it. So I'm going to be really happy at midnight or really sad. Either way. Thank you, good people, for tuning in. Let's do it, Dave. Listen, I'm not taking that for granted. I'll holler at y'all next week. Hopefully I'm in a positive state of mind.
Good call. Once again, we want to thank everyone for listening to the show. We thank you for tuning in. Next time we'll talk to your boys, it'll be a new year, man, a brand new year, 2017. I was going to say 2016 is going to be over, but we're happy to welcome in 2017, which, man, it's been a crazy year. We appreciate everyone tuning in. And, yeah, man, like I said, gentlemen, please be safe on New Year's. Enjoy yourselves, too, and we'll kick the show off. So, yep, that's what it's all about. Deuces.
Man, be careful hanging with Pac-Man.
Oh, see, there you go, bro. Like I said, he's in your same city. In my city. What? All right. You know
he ain't going to the playoffs, so he'll be hanging around.
Him and Robbie.
I want to see y'all riding around Atlanta, man. Roll down the window, nothing but smoke coming out of it.
Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
come on,
man. Come
on.
That's crazy. All right, let's keep this going here, guys. We're going to talk about some NFL predictions. And, guys, I really feel bad because there was a draft pick that I was thinking about that I couldn't remember. I have to bring it back. I lost it. There was a guy that I wanted to bring up, and it keeps slipping my mind. But I'll bring it back. But let's talk about some predictions here. Paxton Lynch. That's the guy I was thinking about, too, man. I just thought about that as well. I mean, that was a pretty bad draft pick, man. So, I don't know. We'll see that as well. All right.
Jury's still out on him.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, he was always going to be a project.
A lot of expectation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was when I was thinking that was a bad pick or not, too. But anyway, let's talk about some predictions here going into last week here. So let's call this Houston at Tennessee. This is surprisingly turning into be an interesting game. Obviously, you know that Marcus Mariota is out. And then you got Tom Savage taking over for Osweiler there. So what are your predictions for this particular game in Houston after getting – really rough season. They're actually in the mix here. So what's your call on this one, Rob?
I'm going to take Houston on the road. You know, Marcus Mariota, I think if he was healthy, I would be picking Tennessee to win this game. But I'm going to go with Houston on the road in a really low-scoring game to pull this one out. They've already clinched the division, but I think they'll still win this game as well. They're going to give Savage some work, get him ready for the playoffs.
Is Zach Mecklenburger the starter for Tennessee, do you know, or what? Your boy from LSU? See the starter?
No. It's not Mettenberger. I can't even recall who's the starter, but
okay.
Mettenberger is no longer with the Titans.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
His first that starts his name is Loser because they're going to lose. So everything
is
what I just said.
Does it matter who the starter is? Loser?
No. No, it does not. Loser. Houston.
Oh, God. Houston all the way.
Defense goes on the
JQ.
Road.
Yeah, I love it. New England at Miami. Go ahead and kick this one off. This is interesting, JQ. Your call on this one, man.
The only way Miami wins this game is if New England starts taking people out. And then I can see Miami winning the game. But if they all play 2.5, 3/4, New England wins this game. I'm not going to pick, at this point, any AFC East team to beat New England in any way, shape, or form. I'm just not going to. So the only way Miami has a chance to win is if they start pulling starters because it doesn't matter. Or if they play and don't play at all, then Miami wins. But they play a significant amount. I'm going to New England.
Bill Belichick doesn't seem to take anybody out. That dude doesn't matter. They score 50 points. He keeps them playing, man. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. What are your calls on this, Rob?
Yeah, I'm going to go with New England as well, leaving on the road. They still have to clinch this number one seed, too. So this is a game that they have to win to clinch that spot. Jay Ajayi, I tell you, he's one of the best-kept secrets in the NFL this season. Running back for the Dolphins. I still like the Patriots on the road.
He was on my championship team. I know about that, man.
Yeah, that's what's up. The New York Football Giants versus the Washington. I don't want to say their last slogan name. Washington. Go ahead for this particular one, JQ.
This is one that is hard because the Giants don't have anything to play for. And I can see them also pulling their starters, but then I can see them not wanting to let Washington into the playoffs. It's a divisional rival, big rival game. I got to go with Washington. I just don't think the Giants have, even if they play, they just don't have the same fire right this week, to come out and get it because they know they're in. They're lost to the 5 seed. They can't move up or down, really. So when you know that, you can say everything you want to say, but it's hard to get that extra sense of motivation for it when you know you're playing whatever team that finishes in the 4 seed, no matter what you do, win or lose in this game. So for that reason, Washington is just going to be the hungrier team at Old Washington.
Yeah, Giants are always Jekyll and Hyde, but what are your thoughts about this, JQ? I'm sorry, Rob.
I just told you.
The Redskins got a lot to play for in this game. They win, they're in. That's just that simple. The Giants, as JQ mentioned, they're stuck at the number 5 seed, win or lose. The Redskins, like I said, they win, they're in. They lose, they're out. They got a lot to play for. They're at home. I like the Redskins in this game.
Redskins? What? Okay. All right. Rob picks the Redskins over this. All right. Now, this game had a little different implications earlier, but I would like to talk about since losing Derek Carr, Oakland's at Denver. I'm curious. Again, I kind of know where we're going, but, yeah, this could be pretty interesting. So, yeah, we talked about this earlier, Rob. I think you know where you're going with this pick, too, as far as the seeding here. So go ahead with your pick on this one, Rob.
This one, I tell you, is Denver has looked pretty bad here the last few weeks. I'm going to go with Oakland, even on a roll with a backup quarterback in this game, but I think it's going to be a lot closer. I like Oakland on the road. I'm looking at about a 3-6 point victory. I think they get it done. Oakland's offensive line is nasty, and I think they get it done. They ran the ball down Denver's throat the first time they played in Oakland. I think they do it a little bit more the same this week in a low-scoring affair, and they pull it out.
Dang, what about – whoa, JQ, Rob is going out. Wow, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I can't go with him on this one. For all the reasons I talked about before with Mariota, I just don't think that, you know, I think the win is coming out of the sales for Oakland right now with Derek Carr being hurt. They're going to give Denver a test only because that Denver offense is so bad. They don't really have a running game. Since they lost C.J. Anderson, that running game has been nothing. And Simeon has been in the slump. But I still think they find a way with that defense and that pride to deny Oakland winning the championship on their home field. I think Denver finds a way by 3 to 5 points.
Okay. Good call. Finally, the biggest big game here, Green Bay at Detroit. Go ahead and give me your thoughts, JQ.
I don't think it's even a question. I think Green Bay wins that game against Detroit because they win that game by at least 10 points, actually. I talked to my buddy about it, who just walked here past me. I thought when they beat Seattle like that, and then they had that run of divisional games coming up behind it, that they still run that division. And other teams don't want to hear that, but they do. And Rodgers with the, you know, I think we could run the table. Once he cleared that Seattle hurdle and they did that in that fashion, I you know, you heard me say, I think Green Bay is going to the Super Bowl. They beat Detroit and win the division.
I like it. Oh,
in the background. Wow. Look at that. Big Mike in the background. I'll be doing his approval.
Jesus.
Have to keep it clean in the background. Oh, man. Rob, is JQ on to something with this?
No, I agree. I mean, I kind of tipped my prediction a little early in the show. I like Green Bay to go on the road and beat Detroit. I mean, I think they're definitely the hottest team in the NFC right now. I think you're going to see this carry over into the playoffs and take them all the way to the Super Bowl.
Good call. Uh-huh. All right. Guys, we got 8 minutes. I want to dedicate this to the bowl predictions. Really quickly, JQ, I want to get your thought, and this is for all of my Ohio State fans. And it's not – I'm going to ask a question. It's not a knock. I'm not trying to come at you, but I'm saying if you guys – once you pull off the Clemson, well, it's going to be tough versus Alabama. So do you want to go down that route to play Alabama, I mean, or what? Because it's going to be a tougher game because you do got a young team right now, and I don't know if you guys are ready for – I'm not going to say that's going to be a loss, but are you ready for Alabama, sir? I guess is a question. If you do pull it off,
I don't think you necessarily can look at it like that because if Washington comes out and does whatever to shock the world and beat Alabama, you got to take them very seriously that next week. You can't take them mm-hmm. like, oh, you dodged Alabama. I just don't think you can view it like that. I think if Urban Meyer wants to submit his legacy for real. And he does this. It does a Clemson Alabama two-step to win the title. There's not a whole lot you can say about it. And I think a piece of him wants that. I think a piece of him knows it's going to put 10 years on him. But mm-hmm. you know, I think the NCAA wants that. If they want to see Alabama Ohio State. But I mean, you know, this ain't gonna be no gimme either way, either game. You know, especially if you come down to Clemson Alabama. So that's why I said my anxiety has already started. Now it is what it is. This is the college football playoffs. This is what we wanted. You guys. Three, you know, and acknowledge three real good and Clemson in the college football championship. And, you know, you got to run that gauntlet. It is what it is, you know. This is why you come to school.
It's what I said, man. You guys will play the best, no matter who you play. You know, let's wrap it up. Okay. I was just curious. All right, Rob, stay tuned. Let's kick us off first, starting off with the Birmingham Bowl, South Florida versus South Carolina. Your call.
South Carolina, SEC.
Oh,
yep.
JQ. Yep.
Me too.
The Belk Bowl, Arkansas versus number 22, Virginia Tech, JQ.
Ooh, that's a good game. That's a sneaky good game. I like Virginia Tech's quarterback. I think Virginia Tech wins.
Okay.
I like Virginia Tech as well.
Yeah, me too. The Valero Alamo Bowl, number 12, Oklahoma State versus number 10, Colorado. Good game. Your call, Rob.
I like Oklahoma State in this game.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
I like Mike Gundy to get it done. I think Colorado's slightly overrated.
Okay.
Agreed.
Wow.
I have the same point.
Okay. The AutoZone, and you know because Jake is going to watch it, right, Rob? I love it.
Oh, yeah. Jake, you're watching the Dollar General Bowl.
That's what I was talking about.
Yes, it was. Mobile stand up.
That's what's up. The AutoZone Liberty Bowl. These bowls are crazy. AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Georgia versus TCU. Go ahead, Rob.
Ooh, this one I've been having a tough time with, but I haven't seen anything from Georgia to see that they're turning the corner just yet. I'm going to go with TCU.
Wow.
Come on, man. TCU is horrible, dude. Georgia, the SEC, how can I have them, the dogs? And I'm not a Georgia fan, but they're going to beat TCU, bro. TCU is awful.
That's right. I love it, JQ.
Maybe it's just my hate for Georgia. And
it might be. I was going to say.
And the state. And the state. The Hyundai Sun Bowl, Stanford versus North Carolina. This is another good game. Your thoughts on this, JQ?
North Carolina? I mean, Stanford was Christian McCaffrey, and Christian McCaffrey is not playing. So unless they're going to rise up and say we don't need him, and they may be competitive for the first quarter or so, you know, to show they can play without McCaffrey, but North Carolina in that offense.
Good, Rob.
I agree. Mitch Trubisky, quarterback, North Carolina. North Carolina wins.
Wow. The Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. That's a mouthful.
That's too long.
Nebraska versus – yeah, the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. Yeah. Nebraska versus Tennessee. It's almost a home game for Tennessee. But go ahead, Rob.
Tennessee, like you said, they're at home.
Yep.
Nebraska's overrated, Tennessee.
Yeah. Nice.
Nebraska got a good young wide receiver, Stanley Morgan, but, yeah, I still like Tennessee.
Yeah, overrated. Nova, Home Loans, Arizona Bowl, South Alabama versus Air Force.
Wow.
Rob? I know.
Air Force.
JQ?
Air Force in the triple option.
Yep.
Nice.
Air Force, you seem like you should be throwing the ball instead of a triple option, but yeah, Air Force.
That's crazy.
Right.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
I agree with you. Good call, Rob. The Capital One Orange Bowl, good match at Michigan versus Florida State. Go ahead. I know where JQ's going. Rob.
I'm going to go Michigan in a real close game.
Wow. JQ?
You already know. And it's two teams. I wish to end in a 0-0 tie. This is one of those games that is speed of Michigan versus speed of Florida State, and speed kills Florida State.
We got to get to the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, 20 US LSU versus the Louisville. Rob, your thoughts?
LSU in the close one.
Wow.
Good.
Oh, JQ.
Louisville struggled down the stretch.
I'm going to go with the Heisman Trophy winner.
Nice. Georgia Tech versus Kentucky. Rob.
Georgia Tech.
JQ.
I'm going with Stoops in Kentucky.
Peach Bowl, Washington versus Alabama. JQ.
Alabama.
Rob.
Yeah, Mike, coming next. Alabama.
Ohio State versus Clemson.
Ohio State.
Come on, Rob.
Florida versus Iowa.
Florida.
Wow.
Florida.
I don't even know what y'all
Western Michigan, Wisconsin. Good game.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, close.
JQ.
Mike just said that Wisconsin. Mike just said he don't know what we're talking about, but he agreed with y'all and not me.
USC
close.
Versus Penn State. USC versus Penn State.
I like USC. They came on really strong this season. Even Penn State did as well, but I like USC. Their talent is starting to show.
Oh,
USC.
JQ.
Speed kills.
Auburn versus
USC.
Oklahoma. JQ.
Oklahoma and your boy Bob Stoops.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going with Baker Mayfield. I'm going with Baker Mayfield.
In the show, Rob.
Next week, people, stay tuned. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Facebook. You'll get our show information for next week. We'll either be on Tuesday night or Wednesday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central. You don't want to miss us on next week. Once again, we got playoff football to get you ready for the NFL. We got your college football championship preparations to get you to next week. So you don't want to miss our coverage for both of those big events on next week. Stay tuned. I'm doing my draft homework, people, so you're going to be getting some mock drafts soon.
Good night, people. Thank you.
Mel Kiper III over there. Thanks for listening, good people. And as always, go Bucks.